Well, hey, everybody, welcome back to Leading Worship. My name is Nick Ajimudi, and I'm here with Andy Christman. Andy, what's going on?
Good to see you today. Yeah, doing good.
To see you. How are things in your neck of the woods?
Oh, man. Doing good. Yeah, just, man, worship's everywhere, right? It's not just in the church, it's everywhere. So it's been fun to, we're not supposed to say what season we're in, are we? Because this could be like any time, but it's hot. It's hot in Oklahoma right now.
It is hot in Oklahoma. We both live in Oklahoma, and it's been in the hundreds the last few days. And it's our all the grass is brown and fried. It's the dog days of summer out here.
That's right, man.
But we're, you know, what is it? The Bible says that it rains on the righteous and the unrighteous, and the sun also shines on the righteous and the unrighteous. So, well, listen, today's topic, we actually have a pretty compelling topic, something that I think applies to every worship leader and every worship pastor, which is, how do you work with your senior pastor? And how do you navigate that relationship? And I think that's the key word there is relationship. You know, when I think about ministry, to me, it's not contractual. It's really like it's more of a covenant basis. The ministry done in a healthy way for me is, hey, we're in covenant together. There's a lot of trust that needs to be exhibited on both sides. And it's built on love. I told somebody the other day that love is what got us into ministry. Love is what keeps us in ministry. And love is what should also propel us should we leave ministry in the way that we leave. And so today we're going to unpack the navigating of how to work with your senior pastor.
Well, you know, that's the thing is that if you're a worship pastor, you're going to have a senior pastor. Mm-hmm. That's or an executive team or somebody that's above you. Very few people are the worship pastor and the senior pastor. So I always like to say, you know, when I would hear criticism in the arts world about the senior pastor that they served under, I'm like, man, I don't think you understand. You don't want his job. You don't want her job. God has not called you to that. God has called you to be the worship pastor. So I think starting with a healthy respect of who God has put in different positions is a very healthy way to start in worship ministry, just to know that you're not top dog. You don't get to make final decisions. And if you can't love your pastor and respect him or her, if you can't willingly serve their vision, then, you know, you have to stop the conversation right here because we can't go any farther until you can be, you can place yourself under the authority of that senior pastor.
Yeah, that's so good. I think that's a key word there is the word vision, because the senior pastor carries the vision of the church. And he also should be speaking into the vision of what worship should be as well. He should also be speaking into that vision for what worship looks like in the church and carrying that as well. And honestly, you guys should be partnering together if you're a worship leader or worship pastor to help craft and fulfill that vision for worship for your church week in and week out. And so a lot of times, we've said this before, your senior pastor is your lead worshiper, is your worship leader. And there's different ways to kind of reinforce that, but man, the church needs to see your senior pastor worshiping. I love it. My favorite is when I'm leading and the senior pastor is in the front row, engaging in worship, singing, and really modeling worship. And to that point, I also say, man, if I'm not on stage and I'm there on a Sunday, like worship leaders and worship pastors, be in the front row. Don't sit in the back row. Get up front and lead. I know for me, when I have team members, whether it be band or vocals that are not on stage, and I see them in those first couple rows with their families or, you know, in on a Sunday morning with engaging in worship, singing loud, it's like they're leading without leading. And there's so much energy and leadership that can be felt in the room when you're able to just be up front. And again, I'm saying up front, it's you're demonstrating to the team, I'm here, I'm with you, I'm engaging. I'm here for the moment beyond just whatever happens on the platform. And I think it helps kill pride in everybody.
I do too. You know, and that's honestly, that's something I've struggled with down through the years, because I was on stage every weekend for a long time. And sometimes I want to be in the back of the room. Like, I just want to be back there and see everything and get it from a bird's eye view. And what I came to realize was I can't do both. I can't worship and manage. Like, either I'm going to be taking notes, or I'm going to put my phone down, kind of just turn my boss brain off, or my leadership brain off, and just be in the presence of God. And we miss that. I mean, here's the thing. If we give and never receive and never get poured back into, then we never get that balance, of who we're supposed to be in Christ. So I even encourage worship pastors, if you're in this place where, you know, you're the only one, you're the only person, or you're up there every single weekend, get on some sort of rhythm to where you can take off every seventh week. You know, that's one of the things I try to do with my staff is, hey, get on a rotation of every 7 weeks. You're not on the stage, and just get in the audience, get in the congregation, get out there and just receive. And I don't want to hear any feedback other than, hey man, I really was in worship this morning. That's sometimes that's a problem for a lot of worship pastors, is they can't get out there. They can't, you know, they're always giving and they're never able to receive. So, you know, that's one of the first things, is you've got to get on some sort of schedule, almost like a Sabbath from being in church leadership, and just get out there and soak it up.
And there's a lot of different ways to make that happen. I mean, a lot of times people are like, well, we just don't have the people, or I don't have the leader that's going to be able to step in and do that. I will say this, man, get some friends, like reach out to some other worship leaders in your city, in your community, that you know, that you love, that you trust. Like, this is why, like, when we think about churches, it's kingdom. We're all on the same team here. So, I mean, you can work with another, just find another church that you're in relationship with and be like, hey, what would happen if every seventh week you came over here and then I went over there? And we would just serve each other in that way, to where you're able to help make that happen. But what it does is it creates a value.
It does. And I know we're a little off topic here from where we started, but I think this is important to park on just for a second. If you make a decision to do something that you know is honoring to God, it's like your tithe or your Sabbath, God will provide. That's the thing. If you'll lay something down and say, this is good for me and my family and for me to actually worship God without being on stage, God will provide someone to come in there and help you. I really believe that. I mean, that's all through scripture, isn't it? You know, every time somebody laid something down or took a step of faith, God met them right there. And I think that's, again, that we get so busy in what we're doing, and we miss those times of rest and rejuvenation and definitely taking a weekend off and just going to church with your family, you know, just walking in the front door right at 9 o'clock or 9:30, whenever, 10 o'clock, whenever your service starts, and instead of having to be there at, you know, 6, 7 a.m. and going through all that, it's really refreshing for your soul.
Totally. And coming back to the senior pastor conversation, that has to be a conversation with your senior pastor and their comfort level as well too. But at the same time, we see senior pastors do it all the time in a healthy way, where they're taking breaks, they're having other people come in and preach and teach. And so I just want to encourage worship leaders, man, it's okay. Like, give yourself permission to at least have a conversation and be like, what would it look like if I was off stage once a month? And in my off time, I was maybe managing that week, or maybe I was just worshiping that week, and think through, what could it look like? I think it's going to be different for every church and for every staff, but at least have that conversation. And again, having it with your senior pastor is really, really important and vital. And here's the thing. We want you in ministry, to be effective. And then we were looking for longevity. So longevity, health, effectiveness, all of those things happen when you're able to build a rhythm into your life that isn't, man, I led worship 50 Sundays this year. Like, what if it was 30? What if it was 35? The average senior pastor preaches around 35 Sundays a year. Mm-hmm. What if the same was true for worship leaders and worship pastors in terms of,
and I think that could be a whole other podcast about how to let go and not hold on so tight and give leadership away and not feel like you have to be the hero every weekend. And that's a real thing. I know I felt it for many years.
Same. Okay. Back to senior pastors. Yes. Talk a little bit about setting your senior pastor up to win.
Yeah.
Because typically worship happens near the front of the service or the first part of the service. Mm-hmm. And so some things happen musically, and then maybe there's some stuff that happens, I don't know, host moments or videos or church news or something. And then the senior pastor comes on. A lot of churches will do worship and then boom, right into this, to the pastor.
Yeah.
So talk about maybe that thought process of, man, how do I set my senior pastor up to win coming out of our worship?
So this is a problem with a lot of churches, and I've been through this. I know you have as well, that things get really disconnected because you do have, basically you have three parts of a service, right? You have worship, which is the music part. Then you have announcements, all the detail parts, right? Announcements, announcement videos, offering, welcome of guests and those kind of things. And then you have the message. So there are three parts that are going to be part of every service you ever do. And they can feel really disconnected because maybe you don't even know what your pastor is going to preach on. Maybe he doesn't even write a sermon until Saturday afternoon, you know, or this happens a lot. The announcements or video content is late getting to production or it's late getting finished up. And then you're kind of left as a worship pastor. Sometimes you're kind of left on an island of just like, hey, just make it great. Just put three or four songs together and just make sure it's awesome. So you can do that for a while, but then you do feel that disconnect. And there's nothing worse than, you know, creating what I would call a holy moment, right? You have really ushered people into the presence of God. And then there's a sharp left turn. Yeah. It's like this video comes on with crazy music or a host comes up with, you know, talking about, you know, the men's softball league or, you know, we're going to have a barbecue out back. It's just like, what are we doing here? There's kind of a missing, there's a missing link between all of these different parts of our services. So I think the, you know, one of the things that I've had to learn how to do is think of the service as a whole, because really what I've been a part of, and I don't know if this has been the same for you, Nick, is that the worship pastor tends to be the, maybe not so much the MC, but the ringmaster of, or the master of ceremonies for every service that we do, right? They're the first person you see when the lights come up, when the music starts. That person is usually front and center all the time, and they're handling, you know, those transition moments, the music that plays underneath everything. Maybe they're in charge, your worship pastor, if you're a worship pastor, you're in charge of production. So you know, you're in charge of making sure all the videos and all the graphics are what they're supposed to be, even maybe your pastor's sermon notes. So you're the one constant in the entire service. And maybe you even do something at the end, right? There's music at the end or there's a song at the end. So you have to stay connected, whereas maybe your senior pastor, you know, isn't as connected to the things coming before, or even the hosts that come up and do offering or do announcements. They're not connected with the message or the music. So it's up to you as the worship pastor many times to find that common thread. And that all starts with, what is my pastor preaching on this weekend? What is his vision for this weekend? It may not even be that the message and the music have to match up.
Sure.
But it's that, hey, here's the season we're in. Guys, here's what I want to see. This is where I want our church to, the place I want our congregation to be in by the time I take the stage. I know serving Whit George at Church on the Move, that was always one of his things, that he wanted to know what the feeling in the room was going to be when he took the stage, right?
Right.
He wanted to know what kind of music was going to play before, were people standing or sitting, you know, what kind of vibe was in the room, because he would try and really transition that well. So setting your senior pastor up to win, I think has to be the number one thing that you think about, is that how do we serve him? Not how do I get to do what I want to do? How do I get to do the songs I want to do? The first conversation should be, how do I set you up to deliver the word of God. And that conversation needs to happen in as early in the week as possible. Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of people like to get way out in front. Like they, I know churches that will get out, you know, maybe 4, 5, 6 weeks. Sometimes yeah. they'll plan a whole, you know, a whole quarter of music. And I think that's a little, I don't want to say foolish because it's not foolish. And that's the first word I was going to say.
Presumptuous, maybe presumptuous. Yeah.
I think it's presumptuous. Yeah. That you are, you know exactly what state the world is going to be in. Three months from now, or what songs are going to be written and released, or what's going to change your what your pastor's heart may change, or something's going to happen in your community, you know, that, you know, just staying in that touch point with your senior pastor as much as you can, or at least his executive team. If you can't get to your senior pastor on a regular basis, at least someone that's close to him that knows, hey, here's what he wants to do. Here's, and then your job as an artist is to craft a vehicle around that.
Yeah.
You know, it's to craft an idea, a musical idea, you know, again, with graphics and video that will support what your pastor wants to do that. So, yeah, it's really important to understand where he or she is going, whoever's preaching that weekend, and make sure that you set them up well and don't leave them. Don't go one direction when they're going to go a totally different direction in their message.
So good. As you were speaking, I was thinking about when COVID became a thing, and then this song gets released by Carrie and Cody, "The Blessing," and nobody had the blessing on their radar until we hit quarantine, and then here we are 2 weeks later, and every church online, because we were only church online, we're all singing "The Blessing," because it just kind of became the song for the church in the moment. Mm-hmm. And so I think I'm not against planning ahead. I mean, I'm usually about a month to 6 weeks out with tentative sets, right? And trying to see who's available. I'm a really big, sorry, we're going to get into methodology for just a second, but I'm really big on not calling a play until I know who the players are. So yeah, I'm talking to my team about, man, are you like, what drummers are available? What, you know, and as we're getting schedule kind of figured out and what singers are available, then I look at, okay, now based on who we have and who's available to sing, then I think this song might be great for this and that and the other. And we start talking. But there's certain things that you just can't plan for in worship. Mm-hmm. I mean, when a tragedy hits our nation or hits our community, the song changes and we have to, like, this is where I'm really big on, like, we're not just prophetic on Sundays. We're not prophetic on a platform. Prophecy and thinking through what is needed now, that can happen at any point, at any time, as we plan for Sunday and pray through what is it that our churches need. Coming back to senior pastors, though, I think it's okay to have different energy than your senior pastor. We're not saying that you need to be your senior pastor. Have their personality, but I do feel like it's okay to say, all right, what is the mood? What is the feeling in the room? And I think every church is different. So I've been in churches where at the end of worship, the senior pastor would come, or whoever's speaking that day might come up and kind of take the service, if you will, steward that prayer moment and go right into preaching. Some churches, the worship leader might be the one who kind of prays out, if you will, or exhorts, whatever you want to call that. Again, thank you guys so much for worshiping with us. As you grab your seat, turn around and greet somebody, and then maybe a bumper plays or something like that. So, but I just think obviously you need to know what the play is, but then don't be afraid to kind of mix it up. I mean, the church that I'm serving at right now, it typically is a bumper church, but the series that we're in, we decided we're not going to do a bumper after worship. So what we're doing is we're going straight from worship into the message. And our lead pastor came up last week and literally almost had like an altar call prayer moment at the end of worship. And it was so powerful. And I just keeping it fresh too. But that, again, that requires communication and trust. So talk to me a little bit about, as we transition, about just communication rhythm. And maybe even like feedback loop, communicating with your pastor. What's normal? What's not normal? What should be something that you kind of shoot for and aim for? You know, and I don't know what's normal in church anymore.
Yeah, well, to me, constructive criticism is the goal, right? I want you to tell me what you liked and didn't like, but I also want you to do it in a constructive way. Like, do it in a way that encourages me and my team. We need to move forward, not backwards, unless where we've been moving forward to is completely the wrong direction, which is typically not. We just need to be in a place where we have open communication with our senior pastor. So we don't go too long without hearing from him about worship. And that's in coaching worship leaders, that's something I hear a lot, is that it's like, man, I haven't heard from my senior pastor in months about worship. I can't get him to comment on it. So we don't know if we're doing well or not. We don't know if we're going the right direction or not. I don't know if he even likes worship. I don't see him on the front row, or I don't see him engaging in worship. So I don't even know. That happens a lot. So sometimes there's not a lot you can do about it, depending on where your senior pastor is, what they're going through, the weight that's on them. You know, you could have a senior pastor that's, you know, getting ready for a sabbatical and take a break. But I've always been, I'm an info junkie. Like, I want information. I want feedback. Yes. I want to know what you think. Especially if you have a large say in where the church is going, then I want information. I want feedback, but I also want you to encourage me and encourage my team. And we need pats on the back too, you know? And if you go a long time without getting a pat on the back, you're going to get weary and you're going to get worn out. That's where a lot of times burnout comes, is you work too much and you don't get any positive feedback that you're doing anything good. Yeah. So, I encourage worship pastors that if they don't have this, try and build in some sort of time with your senior pastor once a month, you know, if you can. If you're a part of a team that meets with your senior pastor regularly, that's great. But a lot of worship pastors don't have that. You need to, because here's the thing. Here's the bottom line. The worship pastor is the second most recognizable person in the church. And in that regard, may carry just as much perceived power in the church as the lead pastor. So, man, if you're off just 2 degrees from where your senior pastor wants to go, in the long haul, that can be pretty massive. You know, over months or years, that divide can get pretty massive, and then that's really hard to close back up. So, I think to build trust between you and your senior pastor, and your senior pastor and you, you need to have some sort of time, at least once a month, where you can sit down with your senior pastor and just go, hey, let's talk about worship. Let's at least talk about what we want our church to experience in worship. What do you like? Like, where do you want us to go? And we kind of mentioned this before we started the podcast. There are some pastors out there that are, they have an artistic bend to them. Like, they're artists themselves. They play instruments, or they have led worship, or they have a really strong opinion on art. And that can be a really good thing, because then that pastor is going to be engaged in worship. They're going to know what songs they like. They're going to know what type of worship they like, and can help you with a direction. But that's also a double-edged sword, because, you know, then you've got a pastor who can be a little bit overbearing, you know, and not let you do and kind of chase the things that you're passionate about as a worship leader. But then, you know, if your lead pastor is not an artist and doesn't have any artistic desire in them, then they never know what to compliment. They never know how to lead you as an artist. And as artists, we need that. We need someone to tell us, go that direction and do it like this. Yes. And then we take that instruction, and then it's almost like someone giving us ingredients, right? A great chef. You can give one chef an ingredients, and they'll just make soup, right? They'll just throw it all in a pot, turn up the heat, and whatever comes out, that's what they get. That would be me as a cook. Or you can give someone that's seasoned, someone that's really good in the kitchen, you can give them the same ingredients, and they can make 100 different dishes. Yeah. And they can experiment, and they'll love it, and they don't mind messing up and trying again. So, I think that's really important. And if you have a pastor that has an artistic bend to who they are.
Yeah.
That's, or if you have no, they're going to give you feedback, right? But if you have a worship, if you have a pastor that does not care that much about music and the arts, then you're really going to have to try and push yourself into their world to get some feedback there.
Yeah, that's so good. And I think so many times worship leaders and pastors, we crave feedback for what we're doing.
We do. Yeah.
And we need that. We need the feedback. So we got to figure out, all right, how can we get that? So that's part A. But then the yin to, or the yang to that yin, I guess, would be, what is your senior pastor passionate about? Do you know what they're passionate about?
Yeah.
Do you know what they're burning on? It may not be art. It may be outreach. It may be missions. It may be baptisms and just straight evangelism. But here's my point with all of that is you actually don't know what your senior pastor is really walking through unless you're having conversations. You That's don't right. know what they're thinking about. It may be a capital campaign. It may be, hey, this building, like they may be thinking about things that you have no idea or have not thought about at all during the week. And so I think it's always important when I connect with my leader to be like, how are you doing? What are you burning on? You know, what's the good word? However you want to communicate that. And then what I've always found is I get inspired talking to my senior leaders because they'll always have a story or they'll be telling me something incredibly exciting that's going on that has nothing to do necessarily with worship. But man, what's cool is I can take that and share it with the team because it does have to do with the vision of the church, because worship helps to execute the vision of the church as well as all of the other things that senior pastors are responsible for and are helping guide down the path of being of the church. And we have to, as worship leaders, if we're going to work with our senior pastors well, we've got to develop an empathy for the position. We have to develop
compassion. That's so good.
We have to develop a compassion for the shoes that you've never walked in. Until you walk in those shoes as a worship pastor and worship leader, you'll never know what they're walking through. But what we can do is develop empathy and say, man, I know you're probably thinking about a whole lot of things. We worship leaders may not even have to ever think about legal things or financial things unless we're getting into like copyright world, which you know a lot about. But there are things on your senior pastor's mind that you would never know about unless you have that conversation.
Man, let me tell you something. That is something that's kept me humble through the years as a worship pastor and all that I've been able to do is that I don't envy the life of a senior pastor. I don't. I'm not called to that. And I just can't imagine the weight that they're under and the number of people that they're burdened for. You know, they have a different mantle than we do as worship pastors. And maybe for many listening to this, God may call you to be a senior pastor at some point and you'll experience the difference. But that's something that's always kind of kept me from, you know, being too irritated at a senior pastor or, you know, that I'm unsatisfied of how much they're getting into my world. Cause I understand, man, I don't want to be in their shoes. I mean, I'm happy doing what I'm doing. I do not want to be a senior pastor. Cause that seems like one of the toughest jobs ever.
I'll end with this thought. I mean, a few months ago, the church that I'm serving at, we decided to add a third service, which in theory sounds like a really exciting thing, but man, it just required so much buy-in from every single team. And our senior pastor called me and I was one of the first people that called and said, hey, we've got growth. We've got momentum. There's a lot of exciting things happening. And we feel like God's calling us to do this, to add this third experience. And in the moment, I had so much respect for it. And I got so inspired and fired up that I was able to hear his vision and then go champion that to my team. And it was a really healthy way. And I respected, there's respect and there's trust and there's hearing and openness to new things. And I just love that communication that we had. And then out of that, I was so fired up that I was able to go take that vision and cast it to our team. And now our team, when we get to that third service, even though we might be a little bit more tired, it is crazy. The energy and just, it's like a whole different experience, that third service of the day, because it's an opportunity for a lot of our volunteers and staff who've been serving all day to be in that service. And it's amazing what God has been doing, but it all started with the relationship that I had with my senior pastor in that moment. And our prayer for you is that you pursue that sort of relationship, that you don't make it transactional based, that you make it relational, and you're always open to communication and feedback and the new that God is doing, not just within your worship team or whatever the new songs might be in the circle, but man, what is he actually doing in our church? And how can we help curate the story of God's faithfulness and goodness that in our community as he's working in us and through us? Any final thoughts, Andy?
Oh yeah, I've got a couple. Give your senior pastor a break. Like, you know, just go lead your team. If you can't, if it feels like you just can't get your senior pastor to give you the feedback that you want, understand that probably he's going through a lot and there's a lot on his shoulders and you're doing a good job already. And that's something he doesn't have to worry about, he doesn't want to step in your world because you're doing a great job. Now that doesn't last forever, right? At some point there has to be some symmetry between you and your senior pastor, but you need to give him some space and understand, just go lead your team and allow him to be the senior pastor of the church. He doesn't have to jump in your world all the time. Just understand that your senior pastor is going through a lot. And I have one question for you, Nick. Maybe we can end on this.
Okay.
Have you ever had your senior pastor call you on Friday and say, "I heard this new song and I really want it this weekend"?
Many times.
And what did you do? And what have you done?
There's been times where we made it happen. You know, I would say the majority, it depends on the song, the complexity of the song. Sometimes here's the thing. It's always a conversation, right? So even if it's like, "Hey, we're just going to do a chorus and a bridge and this is what it's going to look like. Maybe I'll just do it on my acoustic," like whatever it is, we try to accommodate and hear the vision of what it may be. I've been in services before where we have a meeting right after the first service and change the set list. I mean, if it didn't work, it just didn't work. And we change the set list, change the first song, second song, whatever, and we do a completely different set list. But that requires a lot of trust between you and your senior pastor. And then obviously you got to know your team. Are they able to do this? So we had the right team.
Have you ever said no?
Yeah, I have.
And how did that go?
You know, it's they have to understand.
That's where that relationship comes in, right? That's where that
relational
equity.
You know, but you know, the heart is always to serve. You know, however we can help serve the vision, it's a lot smoother when you know in advance. But at the same time, you know, I've been in moments where I've been in worship before. I mean, I know this happens to you, where we'll be in a key, I'll just say like key of C, and I'm like, man, there's like three other songs that we could flow into right after this. And maybe it would happen in rehearsal on a Sunday morning. And I'm like, "Hey, production team, can we go ahead and pull up the bridge of the song just in case we go into it? I'm not sure how it's going to feel." If we do it to our team, then why should I be mad at a senior pastor saying, "Hey, man, this particular thing would be, I'm preaching on Jericho. Let's do it again. Just the bridge at the end of service. Can y'all do that?" "Yeah, of course, Pastor. We got you."
That's great. Very practical.
Hey, this is Leading Worship with Nick and Andy. So glad you guys joined us today. Hopefully this is helpful. We will see you next week on our next episode. Take care.